From your fountain that flows from your mountain, let me feast from the Father's supply. One more time. Lord, feed your children as we stand here with to eat from the table of life. Drink from your fountain that flows from your mountain. Let me feast from the Father's supply. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come with thanks and praise giving to your lovely name, Lord. We thank you for this great privilege we have, Lord, to live in this day, this hour. Lord, when you would call your bride, when you would become one with her, Lord, we thank you to be a part of this body that's made up of every nation and tongue and kindred. We thank you, Lord, that in this hour that the fullness of the word would be opened and the fullness of the Spirit poured out. Lord, what a privileged people that we are to live in this hour. Lord, to have this fellowship together in the presence of the living God. May you bless those that are here, those that are not able, Lord, be with each one. Lord, your bride around the world. And may you just take the vessel, have your way tonight, Lord. Give us something to speak, Lord, and hold back our own thoughts. And Lord, let us each one, Lord, be led by thy Spirit in all that we say, all that we think. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And you can be seated. We greet you in the name of the Lord. We're happy to be here. And we thank God always for every opportunity that we have to come together. And now we say we enjoyed Sunday. We appreciate the message Sunday and the fellowship afterwards. We had a good time, and we appreciate the ones that were able to come out, and we had a good time. And so now tonight, I'd like to, I want to get right into the message. I don't know if that's for me, because I've been having a problem. It's split in the screen, but there's something they put on this new thing on here for me, the word, and what happens if I start going fast and I'm going to just punch, do this, and it's just almost like when I just wave across it, it does stuff. And so it's God's word. Don't have my toolbar up there anymore. Did that today. And then it was splitting the screen and doing different things. And so I when I start getting in a hurry or start going too fast, when I swipe across there, it just does stuff. And I don't know how to fix it. That's the problem. That would be okay if I just knew which button to hit, make it come back. But there's so many buttons up there. And so I had to go to this word, and I guess probably everybody likes that, but I don't. I liked it back there when it was just the word pad. It's just simple. And it didn't offer you all this other stuff. So I have this little thing that's called Copilot, and it follows me around. And so it keeps getting in the way and wanting to do something, and I don't want it to do anything. I tried to put in the search there how to shut it off. And I don't know if you can even do that, because there's somebody here, I'm sure, that can do it for me. So I need to get rid of that thing. And but otherwise, it's going well. And I had to do it in order to, they forced me to do it because they did away with the word pad, which was just the very basic and all I needed. But they did away with that. So, anyways, let us get into it. All right, we're in the breach, and we left off somewhere around paragraph 208. I might be repeating a paragraph or two, and that's okay because we're talking about the things that's taking place now. And this is before the seals. Now, this is in the breach. This is not the opening of the seals yet. Now, he's still projecting and talking about what's going to be as far as he can see. And he's also saying that he don't know. So he at this point in time, he does not know what the first seal is. He don't know the second seal, third seal, right on through. He don't know what they are. And so, but there's some things that he does know. And those things he's trying to get across, and he is bringing to us. So the one thing that has become clear to him is that when this takes place, when these seals are being revealed, the Lamb raises up from his mediatorial and intercessory work. That has to come to an end first. And so that's what he's saying. And so I know a lot of this I can leave off, but I don't want to do that because we have a lot of young people. We have some young people, and then we have some teenage people and different ones. And so I want to, I hope that they'll be reading the seal book during this time. It would be really good for them and really help them to follow through and get what God has revealed in this day. Paragraph 208. Here come a lamb, still bloody. And there wasn't nothing there. All the celebrity was standing around, but there was none of them could do it. And you remember that's where it started at. There was no one worthy in heaven and earth and under the earth that could even look on the book. Nobody could take it. Nobody could open it up. And so there was a cry that went out. He said there was none of them could do it. See? So here come the Lamb now, and his intercessory days is over. The mediatorial days, huh? And that's something I want, especially for the young people, I want them to see that this is the ending. This is the ending of a dispensation. Just like in the Old Testament, when Christ came, that was the ending of a dispensation. And when that dispensation ended, there was an ending of a covenant. That covenant was fulfilled. The Old Testament covenant was fulfilled, and now there was a new covenant that was being introduced. And that's the same thing that happens here at this time. That covenant is finished. That dispensation is finished. And now the seven church ages are finished. All of those things are coming to conclusion. And so the Lamb, the ministry of the Lamb is finishing now. And so he's going to make a change. So there wasn't nothing there. So here come the Lamb now. His intercessory days is over. The mediatorial days. That's when this angel is going to stand there. See? You wait till we get in the seals. And time shall be no more. Now when he says time shall be no more, then we know what angel he's talking about. He's talking about the angel of Revelation 10. And that mighty angel is going to come down. And so, and he's going to tell us that the seventh angel is on the earth at the same time that that mighty angel comes down. And now, I don't know that all of that's clear to him right at this minute, but that is going to open up. And that is, he's going to bring that to us. And he's going to make it clear the order of these happenings. So he says, time shall be no more. That's right. That half hour of silence. Watch what takes place in that half hour of silence on that seventh seal next Sunday night. See, the Lord willing. And so when he comes forth, what? To take his claims now. Oh my, he comes forth to take his claims. So this is the thing that they didn't know 2,000 years ago. This is the thing they didn't know during the 2,000 years. And this is the thing that we didn't know in the seventh church age. This is the thing that they couldn't understand because in their minds, this was the end of all things. They said, this is the Messiah. And when the Messiah comes, everything's over with. Everything's finished. He's going to set up his kingdom. We'll rule the world. Rome's going to be done away with. Egypt's going to be done away with. All these nations are going to be done away with. And we're going to be the ones. And that's what the Jews were expecting to happen. And then when Christ come, well, that's right there. That's what the Jews was looking for in the coming of Christ. And so they missed him because he wasn't doing what they had in their minds, what their interpretation of the word was. And so even the disciples, they didn't get it until he explained it to them. And so on the road to Emmaus, he was revealing and revealing and revealing. And so it was a gradual revelation that was coming. And so when the Apostle Paul came, that revelation continued. It continued to come. It continued to bring into this new covenant, into this new age, the Ephesian church age. And God was still, he had changed his ministry. His ministry there became that of a mediator with his blood. And so he then went, they had in their mind, they were so sure that this was the finish. And this was the beginning. This was the beginning of another covenant. This was the beginning of another ministry. And this ministry was an intercessory and mediatorial work that he was going to do with his own blood. And that's what he was working on. And so we didn't know that there was another part of redemption. And it was going to be 2,000 years before that part was revealed, before it was really became a reality. It was in the seventh church age, it was the ending of the seventh church age when it really began to open up, and it was opening little by little, but when it comes here, then we're finding out what the real order of it was. And so that's why he said it was the book of redemption. It was revealing redemption. And we thought we had that. We thought when the Lamb went to Calvary that we have a revelation. We thought we understood what redemption was. Christ died, his blood paid the price, and period, that was it. That was the finish. But it wasn't the finish. There was something even greater that was going to take place. And I don't want to say greater because the blood was the purchase price. And that is something I used to really struggle with when this thing opened up, that at the closing of the church ages, the blood covenant was finished. And I remember when we first began to see redemption, and even when I was coming to Kenya and India, that I was afraid to say, I was so careful. I could see that redemption was over. I could see that the mediatorial necessary work was done. I could see exactly what took place there, but I feared to say anything against the blood. I didn't want to say anything that was going to diminish that. And so God really helped me in the token message. In the token message, he made it clear that the blood was the purchase price. And that covenant has been fulfilled. And so the blood don't go away. The blood is still, it paid the price, and that'll always be the purchase price. That's what he paid the price with his own blood. And so that's done, that's finished. And now there was another part, there was another ministry that had to come to pass, that had to be fulfilled. And so that's what he's identifying here. And so I want to make sure we get that to the young people. Brother Gumba and I was talking to one of the sisters, I think Sister Esther's granddaughter, Esther, and we was asking her questions, asking her to ask us questions. And so we're telling you, ask questions. And so it really is, it's good. It gets some dialogue, and it gets it helps us know what you're thinking and what you're doing. So the sister, she asked some good questions, and she was some of these things are very new to her. And so she was, asking us about we're saying we're, I guess, 99%, brother, almost, we're speaking the words of the prophet. And so whereas, most Christians are taking everything from the Bible. And the difference is, and that's what they did, even in Paul's day, they were taking from the Old Testament, but the revelation of the Old Testament was being put there before them. And that's what happened when the seals was open. The New Testament had been speaking for 2,000 years. Paul was establishing the revelation there. But then our prophet comes along and he begins to reveal. He reveals that and brings us in to the fullness of that revelation. He opens that thing up completely so we can see what it is. See, now he comes forth what? To take his claims. Oh my, see, comes forth to take his claims. Now he had done the kinsman work. He had come down, become a man, and he died. He had done the kinsman work of redemption, but had not as yet called for his claims. So Brother M's identifying, that's what he's got to do now. He paid for the price there, and now he's going to claim. He's going to lay claim on what he bought, what he paid the price for. And so the blood goes together with it, because you go to the pawn shop to pick up what you put there. If you're going to redeem it, you got to have the purchase price. You got to have the proof. You got to have the proof of the purchase. And so that the book is the proof. The book, he's got the book in his hand, and he's claiming what's in the book. So he played the part of the kinsman redeemer. He did the work of redemption. But he had not as yet called for his claim. And now he comes on the scene, see, to claim his rights. See, and Brother Rem said, why not 2,000 years ago? Why didn't he do it 2,000 years ago? And that's what threw the people off, because they were expecting it then. They were expecting all of it to happen right then. And it wasn't. And when the seventh angel was finishing his message, they expected it all right then. Man's always looking for it like this. He's looking for it just like this. And God don't do it like that. God is doing it in his time. And so when those seals opened up, then people thought, okay, the rapture, it's over. It's over. Well, the rapture that they're looking for, you know, that's what they were thinking. Everybody's going to go over the, let me say it like this, because this is what they believed then, is that the world would be changed. The world order would be finished then, and it would be wiped out, as Brother Gumbo was talking about on Sunday. And so that's what they're looking for now. As soon as he comes, they're looking for the world order to be over with. They're looking for everything that we're looking at here, for it to be cleansed off, for everything. God has opened the seals. God has fulfilled that part of redemption. God has made his claim. He's called his bride into himself. He's done all of them things, and this is still going on out here. So God is doing it in his time. It's a process with God. And so in one sense, it's completely over. It's completely done. And another sense, it's still playing out in the manifestation of what God had in his mind. So, see, that's part of the mystery. But who knew it? Nobody knew. Nobody knew. Brother Ram said nobody knew until these seals come on the scene. Nobody knew 2,000 years ago. When he was on Calvary, he was hanging there. The sheep were scattered. They're looking at that, and this just completely destroyed everything they had in their mind. They had this thing all figured out. We know this is the Messiah. We know this. And then the leaders take him and crucify him. And so now they've lost their Messiah. They've lost everything. They think it's over. It's finished. And now they're so confused, because the very one that they thought was bringing deliverance, now he's been destroyed. Think about it. When these things was going on, even the prophet, I mean, there's a lot that he knew. God was showing him little by little, but he didn't sit there with every answer. You listen to the message, sirs, is this the time? You listen to those messages before. You listen to those messages after. He was in a strain. He was in a strain. He was a man that was at such pressure that he was under, because he knew that something was fixing to happen. He thought the world was going to blow up. He thought that he was going to blow up. He thought his life was coming to an end. He didn't know what was going to happen. He literally did not know. And he was expecting. He seen the explosion. He knew that anything could happen here. And so, but God was revealing it little by little by little. But you can see the pressure that it put on the messenger. And so God uses that. Look at the pressure that comes on you sometime. You have that pressure because you feel pressed to do this or to do that. You feel just like when the first time you come to the message and it begin to become real to you. It created something. It created some pressure there. Although there was a setting free in your soul, but there was something there, an urgency that you need to do something, that you need to do, get your life right with God. You need to do this and this and this. Huh? That's what God does. He creates an urgency in your life to move you this way and to move you that way. They missed it in that day. They missed it in this day. But he was on the scene. Oh my. For which he was slain, for he as becoming a kinsman to man to die in his place to redeem him. But the elder was right. And he said he was a lion. See? The elder called him, said a lion. Because he had been a lamb, an intercessor, a bloody lamb, and now he's coming forth as a lion. Amen. So all that time, 2,000 years now, 2,000 years. And I want you young people to think about this, that he had been there with the blood and atoning for the sins of the people, atoning for the mistakes of the people. And one of the things we just brought, talking about the ignorance of the elect. Brother Branham said he was atoning, mediating for their ignorance. There was something that they didn't know. There was something that hadn't been revealed. And so that which had not been revealed, he was atoning for that. Because that part of the word, that part of himself, he had not let out yet. So the blood was there to atone for those things. And so as an intercessor, he constantly was taking care of it, taking care of it, taking care of it. All the mistakes, all of the things that they didn't know, and they could do something wrong. Brother Branham said in Luther's day, he drank his beer, he smoked his cigars. It hadn't come back. It hadn't come back. It hadn't been opened back since it had went into the ground. And so, what was it? The blood was taking care of it. The blood knew every elect, and the blood was atoning for the elect all the way through. But there was going to come a time when that ignorance was going to be removed. There was coming a time those things that were shady or gray areas, that would, the light was going to shine on it. That's what he said. He said, in the evening time, it shall be light. And that light came. And that light opened it up so that we could see the full plan of redemption. We could see, Brother Branham said in the unveiling of God, he said, the veil has been taken off of God, that we could see him, that we could know him. In the things that they wondered about, now he was in full view. And now he completely reveals his plan of redemption and what it was all about. So he's coming now as a lion. He's changing his position, changing his ministry. See, what a change from a lamb to a lion. That's a big change. That's from the meekest animal to the strongest animal, to the most powerful, the boldest, one of the greatest. The lion's the king of the jungle. And Brother Branham said he'd been there in Africa and said you could just hear in the night, you hear all the sounds. And even here, you hear those sounds. You hear the crickets and you hear all the different animals making their night noises. And you hear the coyotes howling and the different things. And said, you hear that lion roar, and said, everything goes quiet. Isn't that a phenomena when you think about it? That one animal screams out and everything, even the insects. Mm-hmm. Brother Branham said, even the crickets, even the insects go quiet. That's just a paradox in itself. That's amazing. But that's this guy. That's this guy. This is the ultimate lion. This is the ultimate judge. This is the ultimate king. This is him. This is him. And he's taken his position now. He's held that position as the lamb. And now that ministry is changing now into a king, into a judge. And so, you know, that's a different, you go from mediating to judging. That's a totally different thing. And they do that. They still do that here. When you have something, you go to the courts. And so a lot of times before you can go before the judge, you have to go before a mediator. And the mediator is trying to get you to negotiate and come to an agreement and not waste the judge's time. But if you can't come to an agreement with the mediator, then and both sides just refuse to negotiate, then you're going to go to the judge. And then when you go to the judge now, you're not going to get any choice. You don't go back and say, okay, I'm willing to do this now. No, that's what you did there. Now the judge is the ultimate now. This is the full thing's opened up now, and the judge is going to tell you how it's going to be. And so that's it. So he comes forth now, and we know another part of this, and I'll just say it, but he's not bringing that, but he will bring it later after the seals. But he comes as a king. He comes as a judge. But the other aspect is now he's coming as a husband because there's a marriage taking place. And so as Paul espoused the bride to the groom, now the union's going to take place now. Once these things are complete, there's a marriage that's taking place, and they're becoming one. He said, his days of intercessions over. Huh? This is the end of the mediatorial work. This is the end of the intercessory work. See, his intercessions is over. Let him that's filthy be filthy still. Let him that's righteous be righteous still. Let him that's holy be holy still. See, the thing is closed, brother. Then what? See, then what? And remember, it comes at the seventh church age when the mysteries of God will be opened up. This is, he's given us the timeline. He's telling us what's going to happen now. And you know, could you imagine if you were sitting there? You were sitting there and this had never been, this never entered your mind. Okay. Nobody had this all figured out, that this is how it was going to play out. The seals are going to be revealed, that the mediatorial work comes to an end now. And there's another, something going on here. And even many of these people, they probably were in the same mindset as they was 2,000 years ago. The rapture is going to happen any moment, any day. This is going to happen. It's going to be over, and we're going to be out of here. And look how long we've been here. Look how long this is still going on on the natural side. But we know where we are spiritually. We know that spiritually we are in his presence. We are living in the presence of God. We are in heavenly places. We have been caught up into the presence of God to live in his presence. And so he's the Word. And so there's only one thing here, because when this thing opens up, then this reveals redemption. And when redemption is revealed, it reveals who the elect is. It reveals who's not the elect. It reveals what God had in his mind. And that's what this is saying. That's what this is saying. Let him that's filthy be filthy still. You can't change. You can't change your nature. You let him that's righteous be righteous still. He's revealing who is and who isn't. And so let him that's holy be holy still. So whatever seed is in there, that's what he's bringing out. And so that's all it can be. He said the thing is closed, see? And then he identifies, it comes at the seventh church age when the mysteries of God will be opened up. That's right. And I want you to think, if his ministry changes, if his ministry changes from a mediatorial work into a judge and to a king, so then what happens to us? Think about it. That's exactly what happens to the body. If that was him in the dark ages, in those people that were surrendering their life, Brother Branham said that was the spirit of sacrifice came upon those people. And they were just manifesting Christ when they were given their life, when they were going out there and just being slaughtered by the thousands. So what is it now? He's still in his people. He's still using his people. So if that ministry changes from that partial word, from that intercessory work, then the ministry of the bride has to be that. It can't be something else. It can't be that back there. It has to now come into the fullness of the word. It has to now come into that position. And this body is the wife. She's the wife. And so she is fulfilling all that he wants done with his word. That's what Brother Branham said in the Church Ages book. She knows. She knows what he wants done. And she's doing it. She's surrendering to it. So we're his body. We're his voice. We're his eyes. We're his hands. Everything. The bride. Around the world. This is not the dark ages. It's not that sacrifice back there. This is the full word. Speaking life and death. Life to receive it. Death to reject it. Watch. Paragraph 212. Now watch real close. This is something you must get. See? Now he had been doing his mediatorial work, making intercessions for the believer for 2,000 years. He had been back there a lamb. Huh? And he's telling us now he's going to change from this lamb to a lion. So his ministry is changing completely. See? 2,000 years making in this mediatorial work, making intercessions for the believer. Now he's stepping forth from eternity to take the title deeded book and to break the seals and to reveal the mysteries. Huh? What's he doing? Stepping forth from eternity, taking the title deeded book, break the seals, reveal the mysteries. When of it? At the end time. See? Do you get it? All right, we'll go on. Now break the seals and release all the mysteries to them. This was opening up in 1963 to them night by night, night by night, night by night. And it actually, the people were on the edge of their seats, and they had been for some months, especially since serves as the time. They knew something was happening. They knew that God was doing something. They knew that that prophet was trying to find the will of God. That those dreams and the vision on top of it, capped it with a vision. Six dreams and a vision. And so they knew that something was about to take place. And he tried to get the people to settle down. He told them, just stay here. Don't go nowhere. He said, I'm going west. He said, and get the revelation and bring it back to you. And so he said, people started going everywhere. They were going to Arizona, and they were going to Texas, and they were going different places. And so he talked about it. He talked about some of them. He said, some of them, they got down there, and it was too hot for them, and too much of this and too much of that. Mm-hmm. And he tried to just get them, be still. He said, I'll come back here. He said, I'll come back here. He promised him, when I bring the revelation, I'll bring it here first. So, he said, now to break the seals and release all the mysteries. See, this is so beautiful. After he'd been mediating for 2,000 years, now he's going to reveal the whole mystery of the book of redemption. The seventh angel whose message is to reveal all the mysteries of God. The mysteries of God lays in these seven seals, see? And that's what he said here. All the mysteries lay in these seven seals. So there was put right in the book of Revelation, chapter 6 through 8, there's the speaks of the seals, and they had to be revealed. And people have guessed at it. The theologians have guessed at it for 2,000 years. They've come out. There's many commentaries, many books that have been put out there trying to explain what it was. And just come in with their intellect. That book could not be revealed until God was ready to reveal it. Until God had these scriptures fulfilled. And then he manifested them. 2:15, and the Lamb comes forth now from being a mediator between God and man. And he becomes a lion. Now, he's repeating himself over and over, and I'm reading it because I want the young people to really get this. That this is the reason why that we're listening to a prophet. This is the reason why that we have this message. That a lot of people think we're following something outside of the Bible. This is the fulfillment. This is the fulfillment of the Bible. This is the interpretation. This is interpreting what you're reading in that Bible. You want the book of Revelations? Here it is, right here. This is it. You read your Church Ages book, you read your seal book, read some of those things. They're interpreting what that Bible says. Just as the New Testament was interpreting the Old Testament. This is the Third Testament interpreting the Second Testament. God constantly, as the Word is being fulfilled, God raises somebody to bring it to our attention that this is that. That's exactly what's happening. Jesus was saying, this is that. Paul was saying, this is that. He took them right back there to their very Bible and spoke the spoken word for the day and was revealing to them the word of their age. The Lamb comes forth now from being a mediator between God and man, and he becomes a lion. And when he becomes a lion, he takes the book. That's his right. God's held it, the mystery. See? But now the Lamb comes. See? Huh? God's held the book. He's held the mystery. God has held this mystery. And it's time now for this to be recognized what it is. Nobody could take the book. It's still in the hands of God. No pope, priest, whatever it might be, they can't take the book. That's right. See, the seven seals hasn't been revealed. Now, there's been commentaries. There's been theologians. There's been many ideas. But it hasn't been revealed. No, it hadn't been revealed because there was things that had to be fulfilled first. And he explains that. But when the mediator, when his work is done as an intercessor, he comes forth. The elder said he's a lion and he comes forth. Watch him. Oh, my, see. So he couldn't come forth until that work was finished. Think about it. Because now we're looking back. We're looking back now because when these things were first coming, then, you know, people were worried about this and worried about that and said, you know, that can't be because of this and this can't be because of that. Those things, to the elect, we don't approach the Word of God like that. We're not, when the revelation begins to come and the prophet said, that work is done, the mediatorial work is done, and now this is his work now. We don't come with, well, that can't be because people are still getting saved. We don't come now because that means nobody else can be saved. That don't enter into the picture. And until he says it, we don't mess with it. It's what he said. Because the prophet is the divine interpreter of the Word of God. The divine revealer. Look, that's your whole Bible. Is prophets revealing what another prophet said. Is a prophet revealing
a sentence somewhere back there, or a couple of sentences somewhere. Isn't it? It's just a supernatural thing that God does. Brother Bam said, you look how many scriptures was fulfilled in the last hours of Jesus' life. You start going back to the Old Testament and pull them scriptures out. And I always marvel when it's just a sentence out of a paragraph. Not to say, well, chapter 5 is this, and chapter 7 is that, and chapter... No, one sentence out of a chapter can go there. One phrase out of another chapter can go there. Because it's hidden. It's absolutely hidden from the eyes of the wise and the prudent. The seven seals hasn't been revealed, see? But when the mediator, when his work is done as an intercessor, he comes forth. So he don't come forth until his work is done. And he's done interceding. The elder said he's a lion. And he comes forth, watch now. See, he comes forth to take the book. See, to reveal the mysteries of God that others has guessed at in all these denominational ages. See, the seventh angel. If this book, Mysteries, is the Word of God, the seventh angel has to be a prophet for the Word of God to come to. Now that is proven beyond a shadow of a doubt, the greatest prophet that ever came on the earth, more supernatural, more of the more word revealed, more of the dead being raised, more of healing, more of everything that was ever done all the way through any prophet was done in this day. And there's more unbelief today than there has ever been. That's what's so amazing. Is there's been so much supernatural done in this day. Brother Branham said that gift that the people that come through the lines said tens of thousands of times that the hearts of the people was revealed. That God would tell them what their name was. God would tell them where they was from, what was wrong with them. And they would be healed. Not all of them. Some of them didn't have faith to be healed. But if he said they were healed, all of them were healed. There was never a time that he said, God has given it to you or God has healed you and it not come to pass. No, that wasn't even a possibility. God was on the scene. And God sent a gift of healing around the world. And he raised the dead. He did it over and over and over again. There's been no age like this one. There's been no prophet like this one, the seventh angel. Never before. Nothing as powerful. Nothing that was as vindicated. That's what makes me marvel when somebody can walk away today. No matter how much you're confused about the cloud or you're confused about this quote or that quote, no matter how much you can get confused, you can't get confused about the vindication of God. I can see where there's differences. That's just there. It's always there. It's always going to be there. And I'll say it for the 100th time. Most of the time, it's terminology. It's just terminology. One person wants to say it like this, and another person wants to say it like this. And you know what? And I think you already see this. But we got two or three ministers here, one from the other side of the world, totally different culture, uses the English language different. Huh? Think about that. So it's said different. It's said different. It's looked at different. It is. But if it's a revelation, it will always come to this. It will always come to this. To what he's saying. Why does God do that? Why does God do that? If God is doing something and God is doing it, then God does it for our benefit. God has a purpose. God has a reason. Yeah. And you can be sure about it. And I find too many people that as soon as you don't say it like me or I don't say it like you, then we can't be together no more. That ain't going to work. That's not going to work. The thing with the elect is they know who they are. They know who they are. And they know they can't be deceived. And they know that God is the one doing this thing. And I'm telling you, I thank God for what He's given us. For what He's given us right here. And sometimes we misunderstand each other. I know that. And we're going to always have that. But we can do that without it even being somebody from another country. Isn't that right? Did we before Africans or Indians or Russians or Ukrainians, did we all understand everything each other was saying? I don't think so. No. We had enough misunderstandings to go along just right among ourselves. So that part of it is just a natural thing that's there and it's going to always be there. But the beauty of it is, if you got a believer there that is seeing it from that aspect or from that culture or from whatever, then that gives you more of a view. That gives us another angle to look at it from. And that makes it a blessing for us. That's how that's one of the things I knew after I grew up, that God made me for the ministry, made me for a missionary, because from my childhood, my dad was military and we traveled, we didn't live anywhere very long. We were a couple years here and a few years there and a few years. So some people live in the same place their whole life. My wife lived in the same place her whole life. Never been out of the state of Florida. I think maybe one time before you got married. I had been probably in almost every state by that time. We were on the West Coast. We were on the East Coast. We were up north. We were in the middle. We were in Memphis. We were military bases all over the place. So one place would have a high concentration of black people. Another place had a high concentration of Spanish-speaking people. Another place had a high concentration of Asian people. Wherever I went, there was different people. And, you know, God prepares you for that. And so whatever God is using you for, He prepared you for that. He prepared John the Baptist his whole life for 6 months. 6 months of ministry. Think about that. He can prepare you to speak to one person somewhere. One person. God does what He wants to, how He wants to. I know He'll use you for many things. Many people talk to speak to many people. But it just may be one thing, one purpose that He really wants to get. That's why with the elect, it don't have to be some great something. No. We just want to do His will. That's all we want. We just want to do His will every day. And it don't have to be some great thing. I get up, I go to work, and there's Christ at work. There's the Son of God, a daughter of God, working on the job every day. That's right. Being the best that you can be at that job. And being good to the people around you. Is that right? Huh? It's not some supernatural person and you don't have no mistakes and you don't have no strains, you don't have no struggle. Nope. He puts you right here in the same kind of body they're in. You get the same cold, you get the same flu, you get the same COVID, you get the same thing all the rest of them get. But yet, you got the nature of God being expressed to those people around you. You're not the gossiper. You're not the whiner. You're not the little baby that complains about everything. No, you're the one that's rejoicing that Christ is in your life. You're the one that you know that He's a living God and that He's alive today. Praise be to God. See, He comes forth to take the book. See, to reveal the mysteries of God that others has guessed at in all these denominational ages. See, then the seventh angel, if this book, Mysteries, is the Word of God, if this book is the mysteries of God, see, the Word of God, the seventh angel has to be a prophet for the Word of God to come to. No priests, popes, anything else can get it, see. The Word don't come to such. The Word of God comes only to a prophet. Always, Malachi 4, promise such. And so, you young people, don't forget that. You read your Bible cover to cover, and God only uses a prophet for the opening of the Word. He uses all His people for different things, for this, for that. But He uses a prophet to reveal the Word for the age and bring the revelation to the people. And so, God give us a prophet. He's pointing out right here in Malachi 4 that God promised in the last days He was going to send the spirit of Elijah again. And when this time when He comes, He reveals to us that the spirit of Elijah comes five times in the Bible. Five times. Think about that. And so when He comes this time in Malachi 4, He's going to be turning the hearts of the people back. And so it's a great thing that's taken place. And when He come forth, He'd take the mysteries of God where the church had got all scrupled up in all these denominations and restore the faith of the children back to the fathers. And then the world judgment would strike. See? And don't we just think that it's going to be like that, and like that, and like that. And that prophet was here, and he threw the rock up, and he said, judgment will begin into the earth. And it's still going forth. It's still going forth. That judgment. It's still around the world. It's going on. We're in that judgment. And it's been going on. And I tell you something. There's something. There is something going on. You know, the country's turning around. It's really turning around since Trump's been in there. He's doing so much good for the country, and he's trying to end the wars. He's trying to do these things, and it's almost like it's getting to that place where everything's good. You know, we don't have any problems. You know, I mean, we got plenty of problems, but it's like he's fixing them. Like, this is the Savior. This is the Savior. And so, it's been interesting to me. I just noticed this in the last week. That these right-wing, the conservative speakers, some of the greatest ones, like the top four or five. And there's several. You know, there's probably maybe 10, 15 really big ones. And in that top 10 there somewhere, some of them are already Catholic, and some of them are converting from Christianity to Catholicism. And you say, well, so what about that? Those are the ones who are turning against Israel. Those are the ones now that are saying Israel's running our country, that Israel this and Israel's that. And that's a pretty interesting thing when you think about it. Because that's, Brother Branham talked about Israel and Rome. And that thing, Rome has to fall. It has to fall. And so It just struck me the other day. This is really odd. All of a sudden, everything has been, the conservatives have constantly been, and that's been their saving grace, is that they've stood for Israel. And that's where it should be. But remember what Brother Branham said one time. He said, I'm not talking about this Wall Street Jew. And that's the Wall Street Jew that owns all of the media. That's the Wall Street Jew who lobbies on both sides of the aisle. Yeah. They got their people lobbying in the Democrats, and they got them lobbying in the Republicans. And it don't matter which one gets elected, because they're paying off both sides to make sure that they're getting their way. That's not the one he's talking about. But somewhere that thing's got to turn, and it's turning. That's what I'm saying. It's turning. So something's going on. And those people that are turning, at the same time, they're becoming Catholics. Now that just really struck me, something going on. And so for us, we're not in the same boat that they're in. This where it looks like peace, everything's good, everything's wonderful. No, we're not. We know better. Yeah. We know better than that. And so we can appreciate what's being done. I'd much rather see this. I'd much rather see this. I'd much rather see the borders closed. I'd much rather see the transgender out of the school. All the things that are being done, I appreciate it so much. But the judgment of God was already coming before this. Before 1963, Brother Branham said in 1956 that America rejected God. And at some point there, I don't remember what year, he said, I've quit praying for her. And let me tell you something. When the prophet quits praying for the country that he lives in, it's in a bad, bad place. It's in a bad place. Now, I don't feel like I got very far, but I really, I do. I'm going a little bit slow here, but we're gonna get some high points in just a little bit, but I do want to go slow enough that we can make some of these points for the young people, and we got some teenagers, and so I want them to see what took place there and how it's put us where we are now. And so you just be praying for us and praying for our youth especially, and that God will speak to them and let them see some of these things. And so I am looking forward to Brother Goomba coming back and working on the things that he was talking about on Sunday. A lot of things there, and so he hit a lot of things, and so I know he got some questions. We had some questions. We talked about some things on Sunday, and so I want to give him some time to get that in. But we're looking at trying to maybe go to Canada for and a visit there for a little bit. So it's going to be an opportunity for him. We don't have dates yet, and we will let you know as soon as we do. And so you be praying for us. And so we'll ask you to stand. We'll ask Brother Goomba to come around. We want to also, we're missing Brother Michael tonight. Want to mention also two things, Brother Goomba. And we had talked about this, Brother Goomba and I, just recently, and I talked to Michael about it. Brother Goomba is also preparing to travel overseas, and I think will it be first to Pakistan? So that's the first thing on his heart, and so that's a big thing. And so they have a lot of ministers there, and they've come up, and they've come kind of right up to the door, and so they haven't seen exactly where we are now, But they're in the message. They believe the message and they believe the prophet. But he's really had it on his heart to show them that open door in Revelation 4 and get them to walk on in. And so we want to be praying about that, and we want to continue to encourage each one to, if you have something you want to, we'll set it aside. If you put it in a mission envelope, we'll set it aside for that trip. And then we want to also, we want to remember the building because although it looks like there's a lot, and there is, but actually we're getting close. Wouldn't you say we're at least halfway? I mean, we're almost to get it in the dry. And so we want to get that done so we can move in over there and give Amanda her house back. And they've been so gracious. And, you know, it's just like when we had it at our house, we enjoy that. We enjoy it. But there's something that goes with it, and that's, you know, you spend extra time cleaning and preparing, and you got to be ready, and you know. So it's a lot of work. It really is a lot of work. And so I think when we can get out here. So that being said, I wanted to say, if any of the brothers are available on Saturday in the morning, I'll be studying on Saturday, but I'll come over in the morning and work for a few hours. We want to see what we can get done. We've hired some help to come and help with that. So sorry to talk so much at the end here, but be thinking, be praying about those things. Okay? God bless you. God bless you. I appreciate you.
There was a time that David was taking the Ark of the Covenant somewhere. It's been left somewhere. And so David decided to take it from that place. After the war with the Syrians and this, that was left somewhere. And they took it. David took it. And when he's going to take it to Jerusalem, the city of David, it killed somebody. And they were so scared about that. Therefore, what happened was Ark of the Covenant and put it to a house that was near there. They didn't touch it. They just see the cattle go, the cow that was carrying it. Got in there, and the place was, I think the person there, the brother there was, his name was Edom. And the Bible said that when that, you see, it's not an easy thing. It's not an easy thing to let your house be a church. We take it for granted. You people know, that's my life.
Amen.
That's my life, brother. That's my life. The other day was, and I'm not trying to bring myself there.
Okay.
The other day they could not go to school, and they had to, someone was preaching, and some of them had to stay outside because my house is small. But I know it's not easy. I know of a sister and a brother who had it in the house, only on a Tuesday. And the sister knelt down and prayed, God, take it away. I'm saying it's not easy. It's not, let's not take it for granted. It's a great, great sacrifice.
Yes.
Took your house away, sister. It's a great sacrifice. We thank the Lord for you.
Amen.
And nothing will go unrewarded. Brother Don, you've been staying in your house for a long time. It will never go unrewarded by God. God sees those things, and he will bless you for that. He will always bless you for the sacrifice that you do for him. And I remember when that ark, it was also a sacrifice for that ark to be taken there. I'm not preaching. It was also a sacrifice for that ark to be taken to that house. Remember, it had already killed somebody. They feared. Everybody feared it. Nobody wants to touch it. But it was taken there. It was sacrificed. The Bible said that those people were so, that house was so blessed.
Amen.
That the word went all over in that country, that this Edom is getting so blessed. The cows started giving birth to twins, like that, the goats and everything was prospering, and that's exactly right. It doesn't go just like that. Yes. Somehow, you might not notice now, but God will somehow prosper you. God will somehow bless you because He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I had some other things to say, but I cannot say them now. like that one of crossing over. That's a lot of things. That's a lot of things that you said, and it's very, very important. There's always a problem. There's always bad things when we are crossing over from this.
Yes,
there's also a bad pain. And that bad pain throws people away. People don't want to. It's a hard thing. It's a hard thing to cross over. And that's why it was so hard for Jews. Did you know that there were some Jews who didn't even cross over and they were children of God?
Yes.
They didn't even cross over. They were not completely, they were completely unable to cross over. And they are called the souls under the altar. They never cross. Praise God. And they were praying. It is always very hard to cross over. And like that. Another point that you said was very important was, and I'm not, that you can be raised by God just to talk to one person. Do you know there are four chapters of the book of Jonah? And there's nothing he did except go to Nineveh. Nothing else. He was raised by God to preach to the Nineveh. They get saved. Did you know, even after preaching to Nineveh, he got mad.
Yeah.
He didn't want to, what have you done? He got mad. So there's no story about him after that. God has a purpose for you. And God, your teacher, God had to bring you here, a white sister Dawn. A white, for a purpose. That's very important. Everything, your color, your size, Your demeanor, the way you talk. So some people are just like that. Some people are just like that. There's a purpose. If you're a child of God, there's a purpose. God don't do this for nothing. God brought down like that. Don can sleep here, the way I knew him. That's how he was made by God. He can sleep in India. No, it's very hard to go to India from America. Do you know that, brother? No, it's very hard to go to India from America. There are no toilets, there are no nothing those days, there's no nothing. Brother Holmes was eating. They don't give you spoon. You eat with your hands. And Brother Holmes was telling me, you did it like that, before it gets to the mouth, it falls down. He starts again. You could be made for that by God, to be able, because God wants you to. God knows who there is in India. Before Don was born, he knew there was an India, there was a Kenya. And everything is like that. So we really compliment what God do in different brothers. God is God of variety. Let us pray. When you talk, Lord, sometimes you could talk quietly. Sometimes you chastise us. Sometimes you talk so strong, Lord. However you talk, Lord, you talk to your children, Lord. You are the only one who knows, Lord God, how to deliver that message in the heads of the people. We are thankful, Father. We are so thankful for everything that you did to us. We are so thankful for the message today, Lord. We are thankful for the depths, Lord God, of what you are doing today, Lord God. Thank you for everything. Brother Michael is not here with us, Lord. Held at the place of work, Lord. We know that his desire is to be here, Father. But Lord, we pray that you bless him. As you bless us, Lord, and we know that you blessed us, Lord, bless him also, Lord. The rest of us who have not been able to come, Lord, wherever they are, Father, bless him. Bless them, Lord God, as you bless us, is our prayer now. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray.
Amen.
We brought some of those scuffed down there on the porch. There's a basket full of them. If anybody wants to get them. I put some bags out there, but I think they got wet.